You're listening to the audio message of the Sunday service of The Gathering QC, a local church that meets at 3928 12th Avenue in Moline, Illinois. You can also find us on the web at thegatheringqc.com.
A week and a half. Are you guys ready? Yes. Wow. We have people ready here. There's shopping to be done, there's food to be bought, there's gifts to be wrapped. Is your life and your home feeling like this home right here? Or is there peace? Are you experiencing peace this Christmas season? Dwayne and I have actually had moments like this dad here in this video of assembling the bikes. I know that probably you have as well. He's looking, because he says, it's my hands that assembled the bike. It was his hands that assembled the bike, not mine. But we always waited till Christmas Eve, and we thought, you know what, this will only take a couple of hours. We'll have everything set. And then 2 hours in, 3 hours in, 4 hours in, we are so tired, and we're like, why did we wait this long? But the thing is, a whole year passes, and we do it again the next year. And we are this guy putting everything together on Christmas Eve. So we can relate to this. And with Thanksgiving happening a week later, everyone I've talked to, it says, they said, you know what, I feel so rushed. We feel like we missed a week. I was one of those people who put up our Christmas tree before Thanksgiving. And people on Facebook are like, what is going on here? And for me, I thought, you know what, I'm going to get ahead of the game. And Taylor and Kelsey, our son and daughter-in-law, was coming home. We saw them for Thanksgiving, but not for Christmas. So this mama's heart is trying to get it all in at once so I can celebrate all of it with our family. And so the Christmas holiday season is upon us, and we are celebrating Advent. And the funny thing is, like yourselves, Dwayne and I have had probably the busiest 2 weeks that we've had in a really long time, working up to this particular day. But I am ahead of the game because I have 4 Christmas gifts wrapped underneath our tree already. Yes, 4. That's a big deal. Usually my Christmas tree, I can't look at Dwayne because he gets me distracted because he's talking to me over there. They're not for him. But you know what? His gifts are coming. But we don't do a lot of gifts. But 4 gifts. Usually my tree is empty during this time. And so I am celebrating this, guys. 4 gifts. And I know if you're at my house Friday night, you probably felt sorry for me seeing those 4 gifts under my tree. I was celebrating inside because this is a big, big deal for me. So even in the midst of working, family activities, he mentioned the holiday parties, that we can celebrate Advent, the time of expectancy, the time of waiting, and to be purposeful with your time and your thoughts as we celebrate the birth of Christ. That is what I've been practicing during this Advent. And to be completely present when communing with our Lord Jesus Christ and also communing with others. Have you ever had a conversation with someone to where you had their full attention? I've had a few conversations that this has just struck me because they looked me straight in my eyes. It was in a very crowded room, and I felt as though I was the only person in that room because they were so good at giving me their kind, but yet their direct attention. It felt so, so good. This is what God desires from you and from me this holiday season, our direct attention, because it's exactly what we always get from our Lord Jesus Christ, is his full attention in our lives. So you just have to slow down, and you have to receive it from our Lord. The last 2 weeks, just as a recap, Dwayne talked about Zechariah and Elizabeth and her pregnancy with John, and if you remember when the angel declared to Zechariah that God had heard his prayers, that they were going to have a son, that his name would be John, Zechariah couldn't believe it. And because of his unbelief, his mouth was shut, and he could not speak. So Zechariah watched the pregnancy during that time as God fulfilled his promise to this family. And it was during that time that I'm sure that Zechariah had a whole lot of conversations with God. God helping Zechariah to see things differently, not only silencing his mouth, but also silencing his doubt during that time. Experiencing God, because he is a God that is going to do what he said that he was going to do. And you know what? I bet that moment was really great, that Zechariah waited with anticipation for the moment when he could write on that tablet, "My son's name will be John." John. So if you want to hear the last 2 weeks, we do have that on our website. It's on audio. You can listen to it in your car if you want to catch past sermons. But that is the first 2 weeks of Advent. We are in week 3 of Advent, and we'll be reading about Mary and Joseph in Luke 2, 4 through 14. So let's read God's word. "So when Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David, he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" The number of times the word peace appears in the Bible varies from which version or translation that you're reading, but it's found somewhere between 263 and 428 times, the word peace. Many are familiar with the Hebrew word shalom, or peace. The common Western definition of peace is the absence of conflict or war. But in Hebrew, this word means so much more. It's used as a greeting to say hello and goodbye, but it's also a much, much deeper meaning. Shalom is taken from the root word salam, which means to be safe in mind, body, or state. It speaks of completeness, fullness, or a type of wholeness that encourages you to give back, to generously repay something in some way. True biblical shalom refers to an inward sense of wholeness, of safety, of soundness, tranquility, fullness, harmony, and the absence of agitation or discord. The root verb means to be complete, perfect, and full. I love that. But our English language cannot encompass the magnitude of this word, peace. So today, we have the opportunity to press pause. We get to ponder this beautiful word. Peace. The world waited thousands of years for the coming of the Prince of Peace to arrive. Prophecies throughout the Old Testament spoke of this day when finally the angels declare it to the shepherds in the field, as we just read, as they kept watch over their flocks. Now, Christmas marks the beginning of God's process to restore your relationship with him through a new covenant. Not that peace comes with power or war, but something new is happening that has been foretold in Scripture. Isaiah writes about it. He says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Peace can mean different things to different people. True peace has nothing to do with the situation on the outside, but it has everything to do with the condition on the inside. Christ is the source and the supplier of peace. The Prince of Peace, first of all, gives eternal peace. That is why he came, to take away the sins of the world, to be the perfect sacrifice for you and I, so that we could have eternal peace. His word says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but they'll have eternal life. I have a brother. His name is Lanny. And my brother was 17 years old when I was born. And so he was out of the house, and I don't ever even remember living with him because our age difference was so much. My mom said that Lanny grew up in church and knowing Christ. He went to Vietnam War, he came back, and my mom said that he was never the same. I can get through this. The whole time I thought about telling his story, I didn't cry once. But it's a good story. Because the brother that I knew when he got back from the war did not love the Lord. He made fun of him, and he laughed about it. And he would say, you know what, I'm going to hell, and I will be in hell with the rest of my friends, and I'll be just fine. And we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed for him. And he even would tease me. And to me, you know, I took it sort of as a compliment, because he would introduce me as his sister, the nun. Here, come and meet my sister, the nun. This is Kathy. And so we would laugh because this was his way of being funny. And so Lanny was in his 40s, and he got cancer. Lung cancer went to his brain. And so we called the family in because the doctor said, you know, the only way to give him a little bit longer life is to do this surgery. And so Lanny decided that he would do it. And so I was 29 about this time. And so what we did was we put together a plan, the spiritual plan, you know how we do to try to help God out. And we're like, Dwayne, you are the newest one in the family. And we're pretty sure that if you ask him about godly things, we are pretty hopeful that he won't cuss you out because you were the new kid on the block in the family. And so you have the opportunity with us in the room to speak to my brother to see if he will at least let us pray with him and for him. And so Dwayne did that. And he asked Lanny laying in that bed that day, hey, can we talk about eternity? And Lanny knew from way far away. He knew. And we had been praying. And so that day, Lanny said yes to the prayer, which was the first miracle that we witnessed that day, is that he said yes. And so we prayed, and we felt such peace, because this was a miracle as far as we were concerned. So the Holy Spirit was at work even before all those years, the Holy Spirit active in play as he hears our prayers, and that day when Lanny said yes. So my family has great peace because of that prayer. We're thanking God for salvation. We're thanking God for the opportunity to be able to lift our prayers to him and for eternal peace. And so I want you to know today, if you've been praying for someone and you're tired, keep praying. God hears you. Let your tears be prayers to him because he loves you and he cares about that person that you're praying for. As a matter of fact, I'm like, Lord, break my heart more for the people who don't know you, for the people who are not in my family, even for the people that I don't know, because he came for eternal peace. So keep praying, guys. I just wanted to encourage you. The greatest peace you can have is eternal peace, because none of you will live forever. And I'd be amiss today if I didn't ask. If you're sitting here today and you have no clue of what I'm talking about, that you don't know about this eternal peace, if you have questions about God and who he is and his love for you, we would love to speak to you. So please find us. We can have a great conversation. And secondly, the Prince of Peace also gives internal peace. Now, life can get the best of us sometimes. And that peace that passes understanding that scripture talks about, we don't feel it very much sometimes. And the message puts Philippians 4:7 like this. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. That's Philippians 4:7. I also follow Craig Rochelle on Instagram because I just think he's cool. And this week he wrote, "What you fear the most reveals what you value the most. Your fear reveals where you trust God the least." Now, I have to say, I went and I read that a couple of times, and I actually said, well, who does he think he is? What? And so I began reading that, and then I began evaluating my own life. What you fear the most reveals what you value the most. Your fear reveals where you trust God the least. It really is a pretty powerful statement, and it got me to thinking. And so, like Scripture we just read, Scripture tells us what to do. It says, let your praises shape your worries into prayers. Your circumstances may remain the same, but you will not. That is the beautiful thing about our God and His Scripture, because it's powerful. And this Scripture says, when you find yourself worrying, just begin to pray. It doesn't have to be an eloquent prayer. Just start breathing words to God. It takes a conscious effort to turn your attention to prayer and to praise. We have to be conscious of it to do it. But then what happens is your heart and mind will be at peace because of God's presence. You are allowing God to work in you. It's not a passive thing, but a very conscious and active thing. It's miraculous, too, how this works, and it's so, so good, because life can be crazy all around you, but your soul, your heart, and your mind can be at peace. And thirdly, the Prince of Peace gives external peace, or this peace can be called relational peace. Now, we know at Christmas time that we're seeing a lot of people. We're seeing a lot more people that we maybe do not see, maybe a lot of family. We don't have a lot of family, but when we go home, we see a lot that we haven't seen in a long, long time. And there's parties, as this guy on the screen talked about today. And so there's a lot going on, but still, there's work and there's deadlines. So there's much to do on your to-do list. So Romans 12, 9 through 19 says this. This is just a beautiful, beautiful scripture. It says, love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends and love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the master. Cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. I was inventive in hospitality on Friday night because I was telling someone that it's the first time I've used my washing machine and dryer as a table, because we just had to put a little tablecloth in there, and we had to stick food and different things on it. And so, you know, I didn't love it, but I made it work, and I just embraced it. So it all worked out. And the scripture says, bless your enemies, no cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy, and share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Whew. When I read this scripture, it's just like, you know what? The pressure is off. I can leave this to God, but it's still hard because we're not perfect and the people around us aren't perfect. But this really could be our motto to live by as Christians. This is just a wonderful way of how to live with peace within yourselves and within others and the world. Everything we need, it has. So these are words for holy living, for how to live with relational peace. And we need that kind of peace as influencers for God, because we are the only people that are carrying this charge for God. And so he gives us the ability to do that. Our world needs that kind of peace. Now, in the Peanuts comic strip, Charlie Brown is talking to his sister, Sally. And Sally proclaims, I have inner peace. But yet, Sally gets restless, and she starts ranting and raving about someone she doesn't like. And Charlie Brown says, "Sally, I thought you had inner peace." And Sally says, "I do, but I also have outer obnoxiousness." And you know what? Sometimes we're like Sally. But the thing is, we may think we have inner peace, like Sally did. But the inner peace that we feel on the outside, it is evident on the inside when the Holy Spirit gives that to us. And so I just love that what happens on the inside, it can change our actions. It can change how we speak on the inside. We can be shining examples of God's peace. 2,000 years ago, when the heavenly host appeared with the angels singing and talking to the shepherds that we had read about when we first started, and they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." This could very well have been the first Christmas carol ever sung. And we see angels delivering messages in the Christ story so very much. They are great messengers because first, as we said, they delivered it to the shepherds that were waiting on their flocks. They delivered the announcement of Jesus Christ. And then several weeks we heard how the angel Gabriel also gave this message of Elizabeth having a son. His name will be called John to Zechariah. And then also the angel appears to Mary, the mother of Jesus as well. The story of Jesus' birth is incredible. It's a young woman, Mary, a girl in her teens, and she's engaged to be married to Joseph, a carpenter. Now, the angel Gabriel appears to Mary, and he greets her, and he says, "Mary, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary is troubled and wonders, what kind of greeting is this? And the angel says, "Don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and his name will be called Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High God." And Mary asked, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and the child you bring to birth will be called Holy Son of God." Mary's response to this angel is, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said come true." We talked about this at the ladies' event Saturday a week ago, and we talked about Mary's response in relation to her identity in Christ. But today, we have the opportunity to explore it further because Mary's response to the angel, it exhibits amazing peace by saying yes to the most incredible and true story ever told. Try putting yourself in Mary and Joseph's place. I know for me, if you've been a Christian for a long time and we hear these stories, I just want us to just think back again. Try putting yourself in the place of Mary and Joseph. These people are real. The Bible's real. These stories are real. This happened just as your life is real. And Mary's response was one of great peace. She doesn't argue with the angel. Now, if she might have, but it's not captured in Scripture. But I don't think that she went on and on and on if she had argued. But there again, the Scripture doesn't capture that. Mary didn't argue. She didn't say, "You know what? I'm just an ordinary person. Why are you wanting me? Can't you use someone else?" But the Scripture doesn't say that. Mary's response was, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said come true." We don't know much about Mary at this point, but there's much to know about Mary just from that response. Mary is a person with great trust in God. Young as she is, she knows that peace comes from only God. She knows God, she loves God, and she's favored by God. It is also a reminder, even though I know this is long ago, it's a different culture, women had children young, but it reminds me that God cares and he uses all ages. And just coming from someone that accepted Christ at 9 years old, and I've told my story here before, that God looks on all ages as precious and is able to use them. That's why even our children's ministry and what we see going on here, even though it's a few of them next week, God is working in their lives, and it's important for us as a church to pray and to support that. But we can also put it on the flip side, too. Whether we're adults, whether we're older adults, you know what? There's really not much for me to do these days. You know, I've lived my life, and I don't really know what God has for me. Well, God has a lot for you because you're still here, and you're breathing. So he wants to use you, whether you're a child, whether you're a teenager, whether you're a young adult, or whether you're an older adult, that God has plans for you. And what about Joseph? A lot of times we kind of just skip by Joseph, but he stands by Mary's side. We don't know the conversations that they had when Mary brings this news to Joseph, but we do know that both of these individuals are in the lineage of David and that they know the prophecies that have been foretold and witnessed and proclaimed. So peace does not depend on circumstances. It just doesn't. It has nothing to do with what is going on in your life at the moment, but it has everything to do with inviting God into your life. J. Oswald Sanders once said, "Peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of God." Mary knows this. She is about to enter an incredibly difficult season in her life. She will be pregnant and unmarried. She will have to tell her fiancé, Joseph, hope that he believes her. We know that he does because we know the rest of the story. There'll be whispers about her. People may be pointing fingers. She'll face criticism and hard times. But she knows that God will be with her. Her and Joseph, both. And therefore, they can step into their journey in peace because she is carrying the Godchild, the hope of the world, the Prince of Peace that will come to take away the sins of the world. And so as we get ready to end the service, and we are going to take some time just to think about some of these things that we've talked about, I wanted to ask you, is there something going on in your life that keeps you from opening yourself up to God's peace? Are you waiting for something to change before peace can arrive? You don't need to wait. You need to invite God in to the good and into the mess, because he can handle it all. Peace does not depend on circumstances. How many times have I said that? Peace does not depend on circumstances, because God is so great. In the Gospels, Jesus talks about peace. He says, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." The world cannot give you peace. It may promise a lot of things, but it cannot provide peace. Only God can give you the peace that passes understanding. All of that comes from him. So today, we're just going to have a moment with God. Tell him of the fears, of your troubles, the things that you've been talking about, maybe the things that have been on the top of your list of things that you can't seem to give to him. Let him know all of it. Invite him to lead you, to love you, and also invite his peace in, to grant his peace to you. There's a reason we are so bad at outer peace. It's because we aren't very good at inner peace. The monk Thomas Merton once said, "We are not at peace with others because we are not at peace with ourselves. And we are not at peace with ourselves because we are not at peace with God." Today, God wants you to experience eternal peace, internal peace, and relational peace. This Christmas season can be life-changing for you. So we are going to take a moment. We are going to worship. But first, will you pray with me?